On the tee, the Knackered Golfist.
Four, please. The Knackered Golfist, now driving.
You are listening live to the Knackered Golfist podcast. The Knackered Golfist podcast.
Welcome to the Knackered Golfist podcast. Man, that weekend that I just had was a bit tiring because we had a lot of stuff to do during the weekend. Welcome to the Knackered Golfist podcast. Did I just say that? Yeah. Mr. Producer and I went to it's a sports card expo that they had here in the city we live in, Sacramento area, and we got to see a few sports celebrities, but it was a bit, you had to have a bit of bread to get an autograph from them or, you know, have your picture taken with them or something like that. We went to see Bill Cartwright, formerly of the Chicago Bulls and the New York Knicks, and we also got to see Horace Grant, who played for the Bulls and the Orlando Magic and the LA Lakers years ago. But they were on the Bulls teams when they had the championships with Michael Jordan. So we saw them in person, didn't get to say hi to them. I did give Horace Grant a thumbs up, and he gave me a thumbs up right back to me. So, and Mr. Producer was really impressed by that. So, we went and we got to see the sports card stuff, and it was really interesting. But just the amount of money it took to sort of engage in what they had to offer was a bit too much money. So, I'm about saving money, and I'm a cheapskate. So, just to be in the same room with the famous person is enough for me. So, and then we went back home, and I got to watch the PGA, the back nine at the PGA yesterday, which was really something. Because you had, you know, first of all, the golf course was immaculate the first 2 days, and then it rained on Saturday, which is the quintessential, you know, I would think that usually the tournament is ruined after it rains, just because of the course taking so much time to get firm enough to have a major championship, and then for the rain to come along and make everything wet and soggy and all this other stuff. But it's like, if you live in that climate, you know, the course has to go to the nth degree to get it ready for being able to handle rain like that. So I don't know if they had sub-airs in their greens or however much they had to deal with that rain was something. So, you know, I'm wondering what the heck? Another rock. There's a truck up ahead that has probably leakage of pebbles. Or no, they're doing road work. Oh, goodness. Okay. They're doing another layer of asphalt on this road that I'm on. Okay, so I just got, hopefully my windshield didn't crack again. So the PGA Championship was a success. And it was pretty spectacular to watch. It was one of the better tournaments on TV in the last few weeks. And I'm trying to think of how to start with narrating and offering a bit of commentary on what I think of the PGA Championship. I think when they made the decision to have the PGA in May, I think it may have been under the assumption that they would have the tournament at a course that could handle being sunny for 4 days and not having the risk of having a bit of rain during the tournament to sort of stifle what rolling or what good vibes they have going with having the course set up and being firm and then making it a proper major championship. But it's like they're having it, they had it in upstate New York at Oak Hill and outside Rochester, and you know, you're going to have rain, and also they had frost during the, I think it was either the first or second day of the tournament, and they had a frost delay that lasted about an hour, maybe 2 hours, who knows, but I guess if you're still in that climate, you're still having to deal with that stuff. But the guys were in sort of winter clothing and cold climate clothing that kept them warm during the day, but then when the sun came out, they sort of were in their regular golf shirts. But it's interesting that they can plan a championship with the thought in mind that inclement weather can happen and actually have the possibility of canceling the tournament. Because it still baffles my mind that they wouldn't have that tournament in more of a southern climate where the risk of having a rainstorm is not that likely. So, you know, I actually like this golf course better than Southern Hills. It reminded me a lot of Belrive, and it reminded me a lot of Brookline, or the Country Club in Brookline, and it also had a little bit of Baltusrol in there. And, you know, the Donald Ross design is really, really something, and it really shined as far as the design was concerned. There was a lot of different looking holes, and there were, I really liked the mow pattern that they had on the fairways, and they took that to the degree of having it in the approaches as well. And I think when you had a par three, they had all the skinned areas or all the mowed areas were of that circle sort of mow pattern. The dark side and the light side of the mow pattern I thought was great. It was really cool. And it was nice and simple, and it was beautiful, and the course was just great. It was really good, and the fans, as I'll talk about later, the fans really came out to support the tournament, and they really, really did. And they really, you know, kudos to Steve Kovich and his peeps out there in Rochester/Buffalo. And I think Buffalo, they had a few of the Buffalo Bills out there. Von Miller and the kid that's quarterback, number 17, I can't really think of his name now. They came out and they showed support for the tournament. And it was really good. It was really cool, and the people were really, really supportive of the tournament. And it was, you know, there's a lot of history behind Oak Hill that I liked, and they showed that the Eastman Kodak Company was the founder of Eastman Kodak, Mr. Eastman, I guess. He gave the land to the folks that was going to make the country club, or the land that was going to have the golf course, and it was really, you know, what you saw yesterday was a result of the success of Eastman Kodak, and I can't even remember, there's a museum to be able to see the photo history of what photography has, where it started from, and where it's gone, and where it is now, and I can't even remember if Kodak is even in business anymore. It probably is. So, taken over by the Apple iPhone. But just where they've come in the last 100 years, and that place is That place started in 1901, and it's 122 years old or something like that. So, really cool golf course. So, the play of the golf course, you know, I picked, they had this, this PGA Championship had a fantasy league thing that I did, and I picked Brooks Koepka, Sahith Theegala, Shane Lowry, and then there was a PGA teaching pro that I picked I can't remember his name. I picked Brooks Koepka to win, and I don't think I'm gonna win anything. Very much like what happened when I picked Nick Price to win the PGA in 94, because Spalding Top Flight had a contest of if you could select the winner of the PGA 94, you could get you'd win a set of Top Flight Tour irons. And I picked Nick Price, and I never got those tour irons, but I did get a letter that said there were millions of people that selected Nick Price, and nobody's going to get a set of clubs. So that's interesting. So, yeah. So I picked Brooks Koepka to win, and he did win. And, you know, I guess they water it down to having to be successful with whatever team you select with the whole fantasy thing, and that's kind of where that stems from. And so I'm not that proficient with doing the fantasy stuff. So anyway, but this guy, this Michael Block, this guy was really a really big crowd favorite. And Michael Block was a guy who played in that tournament. He's a teaching pro. I think there was only like five of them that qualified for the tournament. And he's from Mission Viejo, California. And he's from a golf course called Arroyo Trabajo Golf Club, or Arroyo Traduco Golf Club, sorry. And where his golf course is kind of, it's really close to Interstate 5, where the 73 ends, which is a toll road in Orange County, that ends at Interstate 5, and then right over the, I can't remember if there's a Denny's there that's sort of a historic landmark in Mission Viejo, but I remember seeing a Denny's when I would go down to visit San Diego when I did live there, and I could have driven by it a few times, but Arroyo Traduco is where that guy is a teaching pro, and you know, he had his whole family out there, I guess. He had his parents, and he had his boss was out there, which I guess is a director of golf at that place, which is, I think, it's a public fee, public golf course that's probably similar to Tustin Ranch Golf Club in Tustin that I used to work at. I was an intern there, basically. But it's one of those Orange County golf courses that, you know, you got PGA teaching pros working there, teaching people how to play golf, and this guy got to play in the PGA. And so this guy had an amazing tournament. He got a hole in one yesterday on the 15th hole, and was during a commercial break. And Jim Nance really segued that little section really well, coming out of a commercial break. And I don't know, I can't remember the words he used coming out of that commercial break, but they showed Michael Block on the 15th hole. He hit his shot. It was like a 9-iron. He was playing with Rory McIlroy, and he slam dunked the hole-in-one in the cup there at 15. And that was the roar that came from 15 was unmistakable, and everybody just lost it when he made that hole-in-one. I would have. And that was such an amazing shot. It's just a little 9-iron, 151 yards, and it was straight as an arrow off that tee, off the club face. And it was unbelievable to watch that. And to see him be so cordial with everybody and be, like they were saying, a man of the people, you know, it was awesome to see his reception of everybody there in upstate New York. This guy from Southern California came out to play in their tournament, and they love him. This guy finished it. So he goes, and they were talking about how he needs to tie for 15th to be in the field at Valhalla next year. And so he hit it left on 18, and he was able to chip out of the crowd, onto the green. And then he got on the green and was like, I don't know, 8 feet for par. And then he made his par. And everybody just lost it. Everybody was just going crazy for this guy. And he was the darling. He was the darling of the tournament. And he was on with Amanda Balionis after that. And she was telling him all this info. And he kept holding back the tears. And they were showing clips of... the clubhouse and his golf course on the hole-in-one. And, oh, my God, it was something. It was so great just to see that because, man, people really want a good story now. And, oh, such a great story. So he's in there. He's in the field for Valhalla next year, the next PGA. And that's outside Louisville next year. And so then I saw a video of him getting a call from the tournament director at Colonial that's next weekend at the Colonial Invitational. And they're saying, we got an empty spot, and we want you to come and play. So I was like, whoa, that's cool. So this guy was really, they were really pulling some emotional buttons on him. And, just really, really something that everybody, there was so much love out there for this guy, and it was great. So, it was great. That tournament was awesome. And so, Koepka won, and, you know, I wasn't too angry about, I'm not angry at all that a LIV guy won. He's like the best LIV guy, and he came from a lot of hardship with his knee. And he was worried that he wasn't able to play anymore. And he came from a long way back to get to this point. And he really had a lot of rehab that he had done on his knee. And he was worried that he couldn't play anymore. And that's probably a big reason why he went to LIV. And it was just based on the fact that he thought he wouldn't be able to play anymore. And so they found out at the end of the show that he's going to be a dad, and it's going to be, next few months it's going to be filled with anticipation, and it's going to be great. So, a really great tournament all around, and, you know, Victor Hovland wasn't able to finish the job, but I mean, when Brooks Koepka gets in the zone, he is a killer. He just doesn't mess around, and he kills his way to victory, and that's fine by me. You know, that guy has the gumption, and he has the clear-headedness, and he's able to deal with all the fans and the crowd, and he's able to just let it bounce off his back. And it's a good exercise in seeing what being mentally tough looks like, and that's a great example of what it takes to be mentally tough and not worry about what other people say. And it's great. It's a cool example. And you know, Bryson did well. I didn't really see much of him play golf, but it was good to see him in not that weird little hat that he had. But you know, he was doing well. He wasn't. They didn't show him being a crying little baby out there, but it was all right to see him. You know, I'm not really a Bryson fan, but it was good to see him do well. There is hope for Bryson, but Victor Hovland and Michael Block and Scottie Scheffler was on track to winning again, but his shoe kind of came undone on this last day or last couple days. It was like a shoe getting untied by movement. You know, he was graceful out there, and he had a few times where he slipped during his swing because of his footwork. But it was really good to see Scottie Scheffler play. And even though, I mean, I follow his caddy on Instagram. It's, I can't remember his name, Ted or something. And he's got some good insight and good messages to share with people. And it's more biblical messages. And, you know, I can't remember the guy's name. It's Scottie Scheffler's caddy, Ted something. Ted Scott, right? Something like that. Really good messages, and I like Scottie Scheffler. And, you know, Rory played with Michael Block on the last day, and Rory didn't win, and he, you know, I'm not going to worry about Rory. He's going to be fine. You know, it'll be good to see those guys come back to LA Country Club for the U.S. Open, and that'll be next month. It'll be about a month. It's about a month away, so that tournament's going to be an electric tournament, and there's not going to be any rain, as far as I know, and it's going to be a great tournament because I've never seen the golf course before, and it's going to be good. It's going to be a good field, and who knows, Michael Block might even be in that one, too, so based on his performance at the PGA, who knows, 50. But I don't know, who knows. Anyway, I can't think of anything else to talk about. I thought CBS did a good job, and it was difficult to watch the tournament on Saturday just because of all the rain, but I thought that they were going to cancel the play on Saturday because of the influx of rain, but it didn't happen. They just played through the rain and ended up being like an inch of rain that they got. But like Jim Nance said, you know, Sunday was going to be gorgeous, and it was. And it worked out. They got all the play done during the rain on Saturday, and they were able to start on time on Sunday to get the play going. And I didn't see any of the morning round stuff, just because I was getting ready to go to that sports expo. But, you know, it was good. It was a good tournament. And now I got to listen to No Laying Up see what they think, but I picked the winner. I called the Grant Napier Show, and I said, hey, I think Brooks Koepka is going to win, and so, I don't know, I might be called the Golf Whisperer from now on, so who knows. All right, so anyway, there is hope in the world, and God loves you, and say hello to somebody today, because somebody might need to be told that they are seen. Somebody might need to be shown that they are seen, because there are people out there that are depressed and they don't feel like anybody sees them. And so if you acknowledge somebody else's existence, you're doing a good thing for the world, you're doing a good thing for society, and you're doing a good thing for God. So have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening, and God bless. You are listening to the Knackered Golfist Radio Network.
On the tee, the Knackered Golfist.
Four, please. The Knackered Golfist, now driving.
You are listening live to the Knackered Golfist Podcast. The Knackered Golfist Podcast.
All right, thanks for listening, folks. This is the Knackered Golfist Radio Network.